fact, I always like this Sunday before. I like this whole week before Thanksgiving because everybody's feeling about, gee, I'm going to get off work Wednesday and I get to spend time with family. I think it was also absolutely brilliant that some enlightened person thought of having a major holiday that wasn't based on religion or politics, you know, or patriotism and all this other stuff. In fact, to me, Thanksgiving is one of the three most spiritual holidays of the year. Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, and Groundhog's Day. Those are my three favorites. Because gratitude, love, and waking up, which is what Groundhog Day is, are three of the most spiritual ideas that we need to practice. They really are. You know? So, Groundhog's Day is my favorite. You know? I sometimes think if we had to pick one single word that was the solution to all of our problems and the answer to all of life's questions, that word would have to be gratitude. Because whenever anything's happening in our life that isn't fun, whenever we're angry or hurt or depressed or we're sick or lonely or we feel like the money's running out or we can't stand one more day at that job, whatever it is, it's absolutely amazing how the tiniest bit of gratitude can completely shift our focus. And we don't have to wait very long for it to happen either. The instant we start thinking about something that we're grateful for, instead of thinking about our problems, the shift occurs. It really does happen that quickly. Of course, there are some people who would still rather bask in their misery. There are people who seem to get some sort of strange satisfaction in thinking that nobody loves them, life is hard, and nothing's ever going to get any better. In fact, a lot of people in the world think that way, which is really too bad. I guess the only alternative that they know is to feel sorry for themselves, and if they can get other people to feel sorry for them, then so much the better, because misery really does love company. But the spiritual truth is, it doesn't have to be that way. Something you'll find out if you stay in this teaching for any reasonable length of time is that you will stop having a lot of sympathy for that kind of thinking, not because it's bad or they're wrong, but because it's such a waste of our natural God-given ability to create whatever kind of a life we want to create instead of complaining about the life we have. Because one of the things that we talk about a lot here is that feeling sorry for yourself is a choice. Feeling like a victim is a choice. Living for days or weeks or years in the dark night of the soul is a choice. But finding things in our life to be grateful for is also a choice. And the two most important characteristics about every single choice in our life that we need to remember are, number one, we're the only ones that can make them. That's first. And second, that we can make whatever choice we want, whenever we want, and nothing else has to happen first. So here's the question that we need to ask ourselves. If our point of power is in the now, in the present, as we believe, a lot of spiritual teachers have told us this, most recently Eckhart Tolle in the book The Power of Now, and if the best choice that we can ever make is always the choice that emphasizes gratitude and appreciation, then why have we not taught ourselves to be spring-loaded to the gratitude position? Why haven't we done that? I mean, why is gratitude not our default setting? You would think it would be, you know? That's what we need to figure out. Now, I have to admit, I'm surprised when people come to me and they're grousing and groaning and complaining, and when I talk to them about being grateful, they say that it's so difficult for them to be grateful because they don't feel grateful for all the things that are going on in their life. They don't like the things that are going on in their life. And whenever somebody tells me that, I tell them that they're missing the point. Because feeling grateful when things are going good is easy. Anybody can be grateful when everything's going good. It's when things don't look so good that we have to take personal responsibility for our attitude, for our reaction, and for our mental, emotional, and spiritual state of being. Why? Because those are the areas that are going to have the most transformative and immediate effect on whatever challenge we happen to be dealing with. The law of attraction tells us that if we are angry and resentful and self-pitying about what's going on, what we will create is more and more to be angry and resentful and self-pitying about. And if we're doing that and creating more and more of it, it's going to be a lot harder to see anything positive in our situation. It's kind of like hitting ourselves in the head with the hammer and complaining about it, hoping that it's going to stop. You know, that's how some people tend to live. But if we can find the tiniest, the simplest, the most obscure bit of something to focus on and to appreciate with all of the optimism and all of the joy and all of the laughter and all of the enthusiasm that we can muster, then we can start to see how the uncomfortable situation that we are in right now might just be a step in the direction we need to be going. We might even see the situation we're in now that we were complaining about and see how something really wonderful could come out of it, or this is the really advanced step, we can actually see how something good has already come out of it, we just hadn't noticed it yet. That is what we call enlightened thinking. That's where we need to get. That is how we are meant to use our mind and our heart. Dr. Holmes says we are creatures of thought and emotion, intelligence, and a passion for life. Those are the two things that come together. We use those things to move through all of the negative parts of our life until we can get to and see and appreciate the beauty that always exists on the other side. Now, doing this doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't take us any extra time. In fact, it takes a lot less energy than being unhappy and depressed over the way that we think things are. We have to remember that gratitude is an essential element of the creative process. That's why it's probably the most important step in affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment. Because what gratitude does is it opens our mind, it opens our heart, it lifts our consciousness to a higher level, and it expands our universe. It does all of these things. I mean, it doesn't change God, it changes us. That's what gratitude does. So instead of bringing God down to the level, and this is a metaphor because God isn't up or down, it's everywhere, but just stick with me on this. If instead of bringing God down to the level where it supposedly needs our gratitude, which is kind of silly, it raises us. It raises our consciousness, in fact, and it raises our consciousness up to the level where the creative power does its best work. And that is the level where we become completely aware of the divine truth about every experience in our life, that it is there for a reason and that we somehow attracted it, no matter what it looks like right now. And I don't know about you, but that's the level where I try to live because I find I enjoy it a whole lot more. Now, as I've gotten a little bit older and hopefully a little bit wiser, though sometimes I wonder, I have noticed something very, very interesting. I've noticed that most of the major problems and disappointments in my life have actually turned out to be blessings in disguise. They really have. People who did lousy things to me in the past have actually turned out to be my greatest teachers and benefactors. You've probably seen the same thing. The timing of certain illnesses or financial challenges, even getting my heart broken, once or twice or thrice. The timing of those things has always been exactly when and where it needed to be, either to keep me from going in a direction I didn't need to go or to turn me in the direction of a doorway that I didn't even know was there. That's what those things did for me. So now, whenever it appears that something in my life is bad or something bad's happening, something I didn't want, I don't like, something I didn't expect, instead of getting upset about it, I kind of sit back and I say to myself, self, I say, that's how I talk to myself, okay, if you would just give this a little bit of time and don't get upset, everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. And then all I need to do is to relax and to be ready for my good to show up. In fact, to be grateful for it even before it shows up so that when it does, I can recognize it and I can claim it. That's what I need to do. Now, I can do this because I am learning, as you are, I'm sure, to be grateful for the knowledge and the belief that the universe always supports me. Always. Like the laws that Venetia was reading about in the conversations with God, okay? I have learned to remember that God, as life, because the two are interchangeable, is always on my side. I've learned to focus on the fact that this is a user-friendly universe. And I appreciate these things more and more the more I'm alive. Now, someone once made the statement. It was a lovely statement I read. It said, gratitude is a blessing that we give to one another. Doesn't that sound nice? I don't agree with it. I don't. Because gratitude's not something that we give at all. It's an understanding that we have. It's a state of mind. It's an awareness. It's actually a recognition of the value of life. It's a quality of consciousness that we choose to feel about the world at large, including everything we see, everything we do, and every experience that we have. So gratitude isn't something we only use to respond conditionally to things around us. Well, I'm going to wait and see how it happens before I'm grateful for it. That's the way most people think. It's an attitude that we can choose to develop by practicing it all the time. And practice is important. And then, like any other spiritual habit that we practice, like faith or generosity or love, all those things that we practice, the more we practice it, the more it becomes a part of our nature. The more automatic it becomes. And I truly believe this. I really do. If we can learn, once again, through practice, to become automatically grateful for everything in our life all the time without even thinking about it, and we can do this, we can all do this, we will be amazed how much nicer other people become and how much easier life gets. Not because they changed, but because we did. We did. And all we really had to change was our focus. That's why we need to practice. Now, there's a funny and irreverent spiritual author, and I like irreverent spiritual authors myself, by the name of Iyanla Van Zandt. I think Venetia read something from her last week. And she's got kind of an interesting take on the way most people see the world. She says that for a lot of people, the way they live their life is like someone who receives a gift and complains about the wrapping paper. That's what people do. Now, we should have figured out by now that not every gift we receive in life is going to be beautifully wrapped with golden paper with a shiny red ribbon. All of the things that we see, the initial experiences that we have, the conditions, all the stuff that you're hearing in the news going on right now, they're the wrapping paper. They're just the stuff on the outside, and they don't need to distract us. But the gift, the part that we're going to benefit from, the deeper spiritual experience that will shift our consciousness, is what's inside. It's what's behind the paper when we clear it away. That means that all the things we worry about, all the things that throw us off balance, are simply ugly wrapping paper, and we need to look at them like that. They're not pretty, they may not be fun, but they don't affect the gift inside. You get it? They don't affect the gift that we need to find. But being grateful all the time allows us to keep our eye on the prize, to keep our mind on the gift. It allows us to receive the gift of life in all of its many forms without getting distracted by the packaging. Now, does this mean we should be grateful for things like being sick or not having enough money to make ends meet? Yes, but not for those things in and of themselves. It is for the lessons that they bring. Someone asked me, should we feel grateful when someone we love dies? And the answer to that is yes. But we're not grateful because they died. We're grateful because they lived. That's a very, very important difference. You see, there's a big difference between grateful for some condition in our life and being grateful for the understanding that condition brings. There's a big difference. So instead of being distracted by the conditions, as we usually are, our long-term focus needs to be on what we can learn, because even the most painful or unpleasant lesson that we go through has something to teach us. And if we can absorb that lesson without losing ourselves or getting caught up in all the drama around us, what we can see is how that lesson can make our life better. For example, the lesson of disease is not suffering or weakness. It's compassion, and it's a recognition of how important and how wonderful a gift our body and our health happen to be. The lesson of failure is not despair, it's perseverance. It's the knowledge that we don't fail unless we decide to quit. The lesson of death, which some people see as the ultimate failure, is not pain and loss. The lesson there is that we should be grateful for everyone we love in our life every single day because they may be leaving. Now, all of these life experiences, as difficult as they may be when we're stuck in the middle, are all gifts that only the process of living well can bring to us, only when we open our heart and our mind. And our constant awareness of the power of gratitude is what allows us to focus on the good that we know is there, even when we can't see it. Now, when we are grateful, we may still feel pain. We may still get worried or frightened, but we are no longer consumed by these things. We get over them a lot more quickly. I mean, it may take us a little time, but eventually we will see What's on the other side? What came out of the experience? Whether it's just a greater understanding or a door we didn't know was there. We don't need to get out into the world and search for things to be grateful for, because we have more things in our life to be grateful for than we can count that we don't even know about. You know, the happiest people in the world and the richest people in the world are not the people who have the most. It's the people who most appreciate what they have. We all know this. Now, there was a philosopher in the 1900s by the name of Aldous Huxley, an interesting man, very good writer, and he wrote this. It's one of my favorite quotes. He said, "Most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted." Isn't that a great statement? And it's true. We take our health for granted until what? Until we get sick. We take our relationships for granted until they fall apart. The reason most people aren't happy in life is not because they don't have enough love or enough money or enough success or whatever it happens to be. It's because they are not paying attention to all the wonderful, beautiful, incredible things that they do have. Because if they did, this is how we know this, if they did pay attention to those things, they would be transformed. They would be absolutely transformed. There's a strange tendency that most of us have to think that the things we don't have are better than the things we do have. And actually, there's not a bad reason for thinking that way, because that's how life improves. We go from things that are good to things that are better. But there's something important in that growth and evolution that we have to understand. It isn't about, gee, I hate this, I need to find something better. It's a different consciousness. This is the lesson. We need to learn how to be clearly, completely, and unconditionally grateful for what we do have before we can replace it with something better. That's called the law of increase. Dr. Raymond Hollowell talks about that. For example, if we've got an old car that we don't like, have you ever had a car you said, I'm done with this car, I hate it, I want to get rid of it? What happens? Starts breaking down on you even worse, doesn't it? All the time. Then you get mad at it, and you don't put oil in it, and you don't wash it, and eventually you take it in to trade it in, and they don't give you very much for it. But if you tell your car, you know what, you're wonderful, and I want to find you a wonderful new home because I'm going to upgrade, and you take care of it, and you wash it, you know, and you pet it, and you treat it nice, and you talk to it nice, and all this other stuff. Once it comes time to upgrade, you go in, you're happy, the car's happy, whoever gets the car happy, and you end up with a better car. So, you know, that's the lesson. Now, obviously, this doesn't just apply to cars. There's a man by the name of Harville Hendricks who writes on relationships, and he's got a classic book called Getting the Love You Want. And in this book, he says the first step in getting the love that you want is to appreciate the love you already have. Those are very powerful words. You see, the universe is smart. It really, really is. It requires us to learn gratitude before it will give us more to be grateful for. That's why for any of the Oprah Winfrey fans in the audience, and I know we have many, she has always said that before she goes to bed, she writes down 5 things that she's grateful for, which is really a good practice. But if you want to really change your perspective, here's an exercise. Try writing down 105 things you're thankful for, or 205 things you're thankful for. Do you think you'd be able to do that? It's not as easy as it sounds. Of course, if you can't do it, it doesn't mean you don't have that many things to be grateful for. It's just that you're not paying attention, and a lot of us don't. In fact, most of the world does not pay attention, but then most of the world is not very satisfied with the life that they're living. So if you do try this exercise, and I highly recommend it, what you'll find is this. As you struggle to write down 100 things, you may reach a point as you're doing this where you feel, after you've got all the basic stuff, you know, my partner, my spouse, my family, my house, my cat, my dog, my car, those kind of things, all of a sudden you'll hit a point where you come up against a wall and you feel like you're finished. But if you stick with it and allow practice that feeling, allow it to open up a little bit, you'll start to notice that you break through and you'll reach a whole new level. That's where you'll start to be grateful for being able to see or being able to listen to music. And then you'll break through that, and you'll start being grateful for things like the sunshine and the moon and the stars and the grass under your feet and the trees in the yard and all those kind of things. Now, someone may say, well, it's a little bit silly to be grateful for those things. Those are just ordinary things. Everybody likes that stuff. But that's the whole point. Because being grateful is not about what is outside of us. It's about what we feel inside about what's outside of us. All right? That's important to know. That's why as our consciousness of gratitude expands, our ability to appreciate every bit of life at every level expands even more. Now, I want to read this to you in closing. It's something I got off the internet a few years ago, and the author decided to write down 10 things under the title, What Am I Thankful For? And I'm reading this just to expand your perspective, because how many of you are going to spend time with family on Thanksgiving? Either going, okay? How many of you are looking forward to it? About half, same as the first service, okay? Good, that's all right. That's not bad, okay? All right. So here it is. 10 things. Number one, I'm thankful for my spouse who is on the sofa being a couch potato because that means they're home with me and not out with someone else. Kind of sounds like a country western song, doesn't it? You know? I'm thankful for the mess I have to clean up after a party because that means I have been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful that my clothes fit a little too tight because that means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for, you get rolling laughter in this, you know, see who it appeals to. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because that means I have a home. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government because that means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for finding a parking spot at the far end of the lot because that means I can walk and I have a car. I'm thankful for my huge utility bill because that means I'm warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I'm thankful for the pile of laundry and ironing at home that needs to be done because that means I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because that means I have been capable of working hard. And number 10, my favorite, I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because if I hear it, that means I'm alive. Isn't that nice? You know, I think it's good too. Now, there's nothing new there. We all know all that stuff, but how often do we think about it? We forget it. We do. So we need to remind ourselves. And I like reading something like this every so often because it shows us that we are the only ones who are able to choose the quality of our life by choosing to be grateful for everything we have right here and right now. So this consciousness that is going on around the country right now of people criticizing and being angry and being afraid, which is the center thing because it all comes from fear, we need to take charge of our own consciousness and stop focusing on this stuff. We need to stop looking at what is missing or going away and start focusing on what we have and to practice being consciously grateful for the things that we are creating in our life because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. On behalf of myself and the board and the practitioners and ministers here, I would like to wish each and every one of you a very safe, happy, and loving Thanksgiving. And I also want you to know how grateful I am for this place and the 24 years I've been here and for every single one of you. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, David. All of us. All of us. Okay. Thank you. We're applauding ourselves. This is so wonderful. So wonderful. We come to the time now when we support ourselves. And I know a lot of you are going through stuff right now. I appreciate that. And I deeply appreciate the support that you have been giving to us to allow us to continue doing things in the best way possible. And if you're here for the first time, I'd like to invite you not to participate financially because being here for the first time, your presence is a gift to us. Thank you for being here. After the service, stop and say hello to any of us on the staff. I'll be out in the lobby, Venetia will, and a number of our people. But make sure you talk to somebody if you're here for the first time. And I'd like to invite you all now to read together our affirmation for prosperity. But I want you to really focus on these words, on the consciousness of it, and take it completely for yourself because we need to turn things around in here so that we can start turning things around out there. This is the affirmation for prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Would the ushers please come up front?